just chance to speak. Of course, it's a part of the time that we already all know that there's an interesting football match going on. On the other hand, this evening there's another important occasion. And probably I was given the stick, maybe this means that I should try to help Edmonton Oilers. It's no feeling, but probably they will go on. Okay, so my title of my talk is Quantum Obstacles and Semispectral Measures, New Problems with Old Questions. This is a kind of survey, but contains also some more recent results. In my opinion, one of the greatest achievements in mathematical and conceptual foundations of quantum mechanics during the past decades has been the observation that positive operating measures provide an appropriate mathematical representation of quantum observables. Of course, this is an old story, probably 40 years old, but slowly this concept has become more and more used. And with that concept, we indeed face also for new problems. And the idea is here to review some of all the questions which arise in that way. I'm sure that you are all familiar with this approach to quantum mechanics. During the last years, it has been used not only in mathematical and conceptual foundations of quantum mechanics, but in quantum optics, quantum computation, and many, many areas. So let us see. So roughly speaking, I want to briefly then recall what is this notion of observable as a semispectral measure or positive operator measure. And then I need a basic tool, which is operative integral. And then the problems to be studied are what could be called moment problem, the problem of joint measurement coexistence, and then quantization max. So the questions that I have in mind, and certainly they are as old as quantum mechanics, first of all, if we consider quantization, so the process where we try to form a quantum description of a physical system based on its classical description, then one idea is to represent classical dynamical variables as operators of quantum observables. And the question here certainly is how to determine quantum observables from the classical counterparts, if there is such, as in most cases there certainly are. The other question is that how much statistical information is needed to determine an observable. Then the question of joint measurement, which observables can be measured together, and finally, are the noise measurements, roughly speaking, this way. And the problems with these old questions are indeed the quantization problem. And here, of course, quantization has been studied a lot, and there is a lot of approaches to that. Our concern here is that with the usual quantization, one means mapping where a classical dynamical variable is mapped to a quantum observable in the sense of a Hermitian or self-adjoint operator. On the other hand, if we know that quantum observables are to be represented semispectral measures, then the question is how to obtain this type of objects. The moment problem becomes relevant in this approach, namely the question under what conditions the moment operators of our measures do determine the operators. In the traditional approach where physical quantities are represented as spectral measures, this problem has its solution simply as the spectral theory or self-adjoint operators. And then there's this coexistence, which is a concept by which one studies this problem of joint measurability of physical quantities. And then the minimal variance is an aspect of this possibility of noiseless measurements. Indeed, this is a review talk, and therefore it's appropriate to recall my collaborators. Paolo certainly we have been working not 30 years, but 25 years at least, and then Gianni Castanelli has a similar long-term collaborator, and his younger collaborators Ernesto de Vito, Alberto Lebriero, then Anatoly Muretsinsky, Sylvia Pulmanova from Bratislava, Maciej Monzinski from Warsaw, and then from Turku, doctoral students Juha Pekka Pellola, Teiko Heino, Jukka Kiukas, and my collaborator Kari Ilinen, a mathematician. So the first thing is to briefly recall what is this positive normalized positive operator measure, or semi-spectral measure, as I call it here, which gives a model for quantum observables. So for that, to introduce that concept, we simply have a set, an non-empty set, and a subset of a collection of subsets of our set omega, so that they form a sigma algebra. And then we consider a set function which assigns to each element of our sigma algebra a bounded operator from Hilbert space, such that for each unit vector, this fellow here, a set function which to the set x assigns the number, we have the inner product of the vector phi with the vector ex phi, which a priori is a complex number. So if this for each unit vector is a probability measure, then this operator measure, which is given here and named as E, is so-called semi-spectral measure or normalized positive operator measure, as they are called. And I use this probabilistic notation P superindex E, subindex P, as well as this type of symbol for the measures. And of course, the idea here is that quantum observables are described by such mathematical objects through the measurement statistics, where the measurement statistics really builds on these probabilities. So if we are given any state which simply means positive trace one operator, then indeed it is a semi-spectral measure, then this map usual trace formula map gives us a probability measure, and the idea is that this probability indeed is the distribution of measurement outcomes of our observable in that state. And of course, with that approach, immediately one can, it's obvious that the full statistics determines the states. I mean, determines the observable E, full statistics, in the sense that if we go through all possible states, we have a collection of huge sources of statistics, and it determines the observable. In the same sense, of course, if we consider the statistics varying various observables measurements, then it also determines states. But I am more concerned on the first aspect of this problem. And of course, it's clear that one doesn't need the full statistics to determine an observable, but the question how much of that is needed. Indeed, some mathematical tools are needed, and for all investigations, the basic tool is so called operator integral, which in the case of semi-spectral measures becomes rather relevant. So the idea is rather standard, well-known. Given any function defined on our set omega, where the semi-spectral measure is defined, complex value function, of course, measurable, this function can be integrated, of course, with respect to the complex measures we have here. And given the function and the semi-spectral measure, we define the set DFE, consisting of those vectors phi in the Hilbert space, such that this function f is integrable with respect to the complex measure e c phi, defined in the inner product the formula that I had in the previous slide, for each vector c. This is one important thing. The other set is so-called the field up set, where we consider those vectors which are such that the absolute square of our function is integrable with respect to that real measure, which is in fact probability measure if phi is a unit vector. And the theorem then says that this set DFE which is given as soon as we are given one function and one semester from this. This is a linear subspace of Hilbert space. And there is a unique operator, which we denote LFE, and symbolically the integral of F with respect to the operator measure, whose domain is this set, such that this natural inner product formula, I mean, we have the operator LFE, if you consider it applied to the vector phi from its domain and any other vector phi, then this is a complex number. The number is the same than integrating that function with respect to complex measure. So for all vectors phi, for all phi from the domain. So there is such a thing. This other set, the tilde set, which I call the square integrability domain, it turns out to be a subspace of DFE whenever our operator measure is positive, as we do expect here. Now, assume here. If the function is real value, then the operator is symmetric, but not necessarily densely defined. If you recall the spectral theory, I mean, if this is spectral measure, then all these operators are always densely defined. Now we lack that property. And also the symmetric operators were densely defined. But in the case of semi-spectral measures, indeed the density is lacking and it causes some interesting questions. Also, indeed, this tilde square integrability domain is a subset of the domain. And it may occur that indeed it's much smaller than the actual domain. But if our operator measure is a spectral measure, then the two domains are the same. And in fact, it is the multiplicativity of the spectral measure which causes, brings us here, and which then for spectral measures gives this usual functional calculus, which we all know. So with that tool and having an observable represented as a semi-spectral measure, the first aspect of this moment problem with respect to our observables is that if we are given a semi-spectral measure now defined on the real model subsets of the real life, so that we can integrate functions. So if we, yeah, of course, the obvious thing, consider these functions and they can be integrated with respect to our semi-spectral measure, and they give us the operators which simply are the moment operators of the semi-spectral measure. And the question, one aspect of the moment problem is, the uniqueness part of the moment problem is whether the moment operators do determine the semi-spectral measure. And here I recall some known results that if our operator measure is multiplicative, meaning spectral measure, then the square integrability domain of any moment operator agrees with the Mohr domain. And in fact, all of the moment operators are densely defined self-adjoint operators, and the kth moment is simply the kth power of the first one. And also, in that context, we certainly know that the first moment is a self-adjoint operator, it determines its spectral measure. And there is exactly one semi-spectral measure with that moment sequence. This moment problem has one aspect which can be described as a noiseless case, namely, if we consider a spectral measure, then of course the first moment operator is a self-adjoint operator, and in particular we have that typical relation. And indeed, spectral measures and the self-adjoint operators, of course, correspond to each other one-to-one. In general case of a semi-spectral measure, these operators are certainly well-defined, but we do not need to have this formula planning. And it turns out that this formula is actually essential to characterize in the semi-spectrum deserts. This is some lemma which I don't need to enter to state the result, but let me denote, pay attention on the following notation. I have here the kth moment operator, and I put tilde here about tilde k to be the restriction of the kth moment on the square integrability door. Then there is the following result, perhaps basically well known. If we are given a semi-spectral measure such that the restriction of the first moment on the square integrability domain is self-adjoint, then the following conditions are echoed. In a spectral measure, the second moment is the square of the first moment, and we have this familiar relation which we know from the spectral measures. Indeed, this result is long known, at least for boundary operators, and probably some of you consider it well known also. In general, in our case, we didn't find a proof from the literature, so we have produced one. But in any case, this shows that this operator, which is here defined to be the difference of the second moment and the square of the first moment, which is known to be a sort of noise operator, which is frequently used in several applications, we then see that measurement is noiseless in the sense that the observable that the measurement constitutes doesn't have the noise exactly when the measurement is a measurement of a spectral measure. So it's one aspect of the momentum. The uniqueness question of the moment problem is of importance for us, and there are two other known cases which I will briefly mention. So the question is indeed that when we are given the moment sequence, does it determine the operating measure? And two known cases are recorded here. The first one is if our operator measure has bounded support, meaning that if all these probability measures do have bounded support, then using the classical analysis, then indeed the distribution is completely determined by its moments. I formulate this uniqueness here in terms of probability measures because after all, the semi-spectral measures are defined by this probability measure. So in order to solve the uniqueness problem for the operator measures, we solve them for the probability measures. And if we know sufficiently many solutions for them, then of course we can conclude that also the operator measure is determined by its moment. This is one of classical result, and it has a nice operational formulation. Indeed, probability measure PE phi has a bounded support exactly when there are positive constants C and R such that these expectations are bounded by these constants. The kth moment of the probability distribution is bounded by the kth power of this C times R to the lower k. The other known case is this exponential boundedness. One says that the probability measure is exponentially bounded if there is a positive constant such that the integrate is exponential function with respect to the probability measure, then this integral is fine. And again, in that case, there's a classical result that the probability measure is uniquely determined by its moments. And again, here one can obtain an operationally reasonable characterization from the exponential boundedness of a given probability measure, and therefore for the semi-spectral measures, if it happens that we know sufficiently many of these, as we do in some applications. And it's similar, so we have two positive numbers C and R such that the moment sequence of this probability measure is bounded by this relation. Okay. In fact, I continue somewhat later with this moment problem in view of the quantization problem. But here I briefly deviate to another problem on joint present discovery systems, which in the case of a positive operating measure, semi-spectral measures, looks somewhat different than what it is known for, let's say, ordinary observables spectral measures. And of course, the problem of joint measurability of two quantities is one of the corner problems in quantum mechanics, and it has been investigated a lot. So this means that there are a number of characterizations. So if we have two noiseless observables, E1 and E2, there are several, I put them immediately here, several conditions, different conditions, which characterize let's say various aspects of the possibility of measuring together the two quantities. The first one is the mathematical expression, namely, if the spectral measures E1 and E2 commute in the sense that the spectral projections commute, then this is equivalent with E1 and E2 being commensurable. I don't know whether all of you recall this quantum logic notion from 60s or 70s. With commensurability, that's a briefly. This E1, E2, they are operating measures. let's say E1, it perhaps has its sigma algebra A1 where it is defined. So this is a set of operators in any case. And E2 similarly. And of course, if they are spectral measures, then they are collections of projections. If you consider the union of these ranges of these operating measures, they are commensurable if there is a spectral measure with the sigma algebra A such that all the projections in the range of E1 and E2 are contained in the range of spectral measure E. This is one mathematical expression of the commensurability relation in quantum logic, at least it was in the 60s and 70s. Another concept is the concept of coexistence, which comes from Ludwig, also probably from late 60s, which is the same relation that this. Except that here one allows E to be a semi-spectral measure, not requiring that it is a spectral measure. So it looks slightly different. But in any case, in this context, they are the same. They are functionally coexistent, meaning that there is a third observable, I use the same letter E, and functions, let's say F and G, F1. Such that E1 is a function of E, and E2 is a function of E, where of course E, for instance, E1, ZZ is simply EF1 inverse EZ. So if you can reconstruct them as functions, so in that case we say that they are functional coexistence. E1 and E2 have a bioobservable, which is a further concept. Bioobservable is an operator value mapping, which is defined on Cartesian product of two sigma algebras, so that for two sets X and Y, we determine the associated operator. And we say that E1 and E2 has a bioobservable if it happens that, for instance, if we fix y to be omega 2, then this fellow px omega 2 would simply be e1x. And similarly for the other partner. So in that they have y 2. This is an important concept in the theory of sequential measurements. And then e1 and e2 have a joint observable, meaning that that there is a mapping defined not only for the Cartesian, in the Cartesian product, but in the sigma algebra generated by these two fellows. So a fellow which for the products its associates and operator, and again such that the marginals of this G are E1 and E2. For instance, indeed X over 2 is in the E1 X, and similarly for sigma. So these six items are equivalent if E1 and E2 are spectral measures. And indeed they all reflect various aspects of the possibility of joint measurability of the observables in question. If we consider the so-called noisy case, which means that the operator measure is not a spectral measure, then it happens that the three last properties, functional coexistence, by observable, joint observable, they remain equal. So if observables E1 and E2 have a joint observable, they have a by observable, then they are functionally coexistent. And of course they all are implied by the commutativities. I mean, if we have two semi-spectral measures to general observables which commute in the sense that all the effects operators in the range commute, then it implies a functional coexistence prior observable joint observable. But the commutativity is by no means necessary for these properties. All these three properties, the functional coexistence, bi-observable, joint observable, they imply that E1 and E2 are coexistent. But it is indeed an open question whether this notion of coexistence is more general than the other three. Indeed, looking back in the history of quantum mechanics, this concept of coexistence was introduced by Ludwig in the late 1960s in order to describe the possibility of measuring two observables together. And he introduced that notion. He also introduced this functional coexistence, and from the present day point of view, these three concepts, they really correspond to the possibility of measuring, in the sense of quantum theory of measurement, the observables together. So if one can construct a measurement model for a joint measurement, then we are in that frame. We do not know whether this is a more general concept. So this is a small exercise left for all of you to solve the problem. Okay, now I come to this quantization question, which is really extensively analyzed in literature, and huge literature has developed on that. And indeed, from our point of view, we are concerned only with one aspect. So, usually, one way to consider quantization is indeed that it is a map which assigns to a classical and dynamical variable an operator, linear operator, possibly Hermitian operator or even Surtonian operator. And our concern here really is to extend this so that we would obtain not only operators but operator measures, semi-spectral measures as a result of quantization. And for that purpose, we consider not only the given classical variable, but all of its powers, all of its moments. And the idea is that indeed, considering, let's say, the classical probability distributions, which are certainly trivial in the sense that in pure space they are point distributions, but in principle we have that distribution, and we may consider the moments of that distribution. And we want to consider, so to say, the moment sequence defined by that classical variable. So, given a classical variable f, we consider the whole sequence of operators gamma fk, and we search for a semi-spectral measure which would then give these operators as integrals of the function x goes to the power x, for the k power, so we require that this operator would be the key moment of the service platform messages. So if gamma and f are such that there is a unique solution for the moment problem, then indeed we consider the operators gamma and fk, or equivalently the service platform measure, to constitute the quantization of our classical dynamical variety. Of course, one may study various types of quantization maps, but and one family of them are those which are implemented by operator measures. It is indeed quite straightforward to write down conditions for this map such that it coincides with the other map that we have been already considering. The function is associated with an operator integral. And if we assume that these conditions are fulfilled, then indeed the quantization map gamma is implemented by an operator. And this is the frame that we are following here. If this is the case, so that the map gamma can be derived from an operator measure through the integral, then for any k, we certainly have that operator. We integrate the kth power of the function f with respect to the operator measure, which is the same than integrating the kth power of the identity map on the real line with respect to the induced measure. In this frame of quantization, one certainly can only get observables which are functionally coexistent, which can be measured together. This means that a non-trivial case non-trivial quantization requires that our operator measure cannot be a semi-spectrum. Namely, if it is a semi-spectrum measure, then we obtain mutually commuting spectrum measures and only centers and operators which commute with each other, which is certainly not what one would be pleased with. So we need really a semi-spectrum measure, and preferably sort of information and complete in the sense that the set of operators which can be obtained from that quantization is sufficiently rich. So, we'll go to check what happened. All right, one important part of this quantization of sound given by the so-called coherent phase space quantizations. We consider quantization maps gamma with gamma from operator measure, but from the phase space operator, covariant phase space operator measure. Here I consider the phase space two, so 1 degree of freedom for the classical counterpart. Of course, one can easily put it here R2n, but it makes simply a notation of slight complication. Nothing drastic. So we have the phase space, and we consider operator measures quantizations on the phase space, which do respect the symmetry of the phase space, namely the spatial translations and velocity boosts. And then it can be shown that any spectral measure which respects that structure of the phase space is uniquely determined by a positive trace one operator t through this integral familiar types of many of you, where this WQP is a vital operator associated with the use of position and momentum operators, Q and P operators. So the form of this operator measure is well known. And for each generating operator t, then we have a quantization map gamma t. And of course, the problem that this phase space quantization gives us is that is there a generating operative team such that this quantization would not gamma t provides quantization for all dynamical variables. And certainly we do not know. Therefore, we consider a more restrictive case, saying that if there is a t such that gamma t provides quantization for all physically relevant, what is physically relevant, of course, is not known, not known, but something can be said on that case. Of course, there are obvious classical dynamical variables, which at least should be quantized, and this refers to that. One further point to be observed here, that if we consider the space-based quantizations, then the only projection operators which can be reached are 0 and 1. So none of the observables that we obtain can be spectralizers. Another thing which I already noted, that in this quantization scheme which is implemented by an operator measure, it's necessary so that all the observables that will be obtained are functionally coexistent, can be measured together in the broader sense of the term. Also, among these phase-based observables and phase-based quantizations, excuse me, there are the information in complete quantizations, namely if the generating operator T fulfills this trace formula, where W is a while operator associated with the phase-based point, then indeed the resulting quantization is information complete. So, if you consider this quantization procedure seriously, the first thing is to try to determine this operator. And it is, in fact, in this approach, the real problem. It seems to be a difficult task to determine this operator. There are some, I don't enter this proposition, it's kind of a lemma, but it shows that under some appropriate, if the functions that we want to quantize, if they somehow respect the symmetry of the phase space, then it happens that this quantum equivalent domain is either the null space or it is dense. So this is a good sign that something could be kept out. And the same for the whole domain. And the kind of covariance condition is also reflected then for these operators. So we are certainly unable to solve the problem in general, so let us try to see some cases. Of course, here one identifies an important classical dynamical variable position and moment. And now let me call x to the power k, the k power of this coordinate projection map. And similarly, yk, so position moment. Then it can be shown that the square integrability domain is non-trivial, differs from the zero space, meaning that the domain is dense exactly when q is the usual, the multiplicative position operator. Q to the power k square root of t, t is the generating operator, positive trace one operator, if this is Hilbert-Smith operator. And in that case, the square integrability domain of the kth moment is simply the kth power of the position operator. And similarly for the momentum part. And indeed, in this case, so if our generating operator T, the fellow which generates the phase space operator measure, and therefore the quantization, if it fulfills this condition, then one can determine explicitly these operators Lx, k, e, t, so the kth moment of it's not the kth moment, this integral operator, and it turns out to be a polynomial over the position operator q, and the polynomial can be explicitly be needed, and similarly for the p part of the problem. So, if our states, if the operators T, which do give rise to quantizations, if they do fall from these conditions, then at least for this basic classical variables, position and momentum, we obtain quantizations. At least there's a possibility to obtain, of course, then the question of the uniqueness is still to be solved. So now if I consider the so-called number states, I mean if we are given the position and momentum operators without the natural number states, let us use oscillator terminology, here and here are the usual position momentum operators, then these number states are simply the Hermitian functions, so the oscillator eigenstates. So if T is such, then certainly this Hilbert-Smith condition is fulfilled for any T, even for finite convex combinations of this, or even for some linear combination. But if simply we consider that, then indeed there's quantization map determined by that operator gives us some. Here I mentioned that it has the properties. Positive phase is covering its information complete, and it gives the unique solution to the moment problem for some basic functions, especially for Q and P. And here is the result on that direction, Dvoretsensky and Yrjönen some years ago. So if we consider this operator measure which gives rise to the quantization, it certainly has two marginal measures. And these marginal measures are now uniquely determined by the moment operator sequences that I gave previously. In that case, these operators can all be computed. They are polynomials of the position operator, here they are polynomials of the momentum operator. Yes.
Sorry, I don't understand what this basis is.
What is the basis?
Yes.
Okay. You mean this?
No.
Yeah. Okay. One can proceed abstractly to another spot. But let us be in concrete terms. So let us assume that our Hilbert space is L2R, and we have the usual position operator and momentum operator, and then we form the oscillator energy. Q squared plus P squared. So it has a, they are exactly the eigenfaces of that. One can, of course, proceed abstractly, take any orthonormal base rather by the natural numbers and build on that. First the lowering and raising operators, and then relating position momentum operators, the partners. Everything works exactly the same way. So they are important in the sense that the Hilbert-Smith condition is fulfilled, and there we have a unique solution to the moment problem for the basic classical dynamical variables. So in this sense one can say in this framework, of course, that these operator sequences, they constitute quantizations of classical dynamical variables x and y. And of course we know that the corresponding cylindrical measures, they are the Cartesian marginal measures of EN, and they are simply the well-known answer position and momentum observables. Of course, our aim would be to quantize all possible dynamical variables, and certainly we are unable to do it. And therefore, the question is that what can we solve for some physical relevant case? We have position and momentum, and just an illustration that if you consider this fellow, again, in that case, the problem can completely solve. These operators can be determined explicitly, and it can be confirmed using the exponential boundedness, by the way. In all these cases, the exponential boundedness criteria is essential. Then these operators constitute an operator measure which is a radial marginal measure of sometimes called unsharp number observable. Well, with this quantization scheme, one may then certainly for several questions. One, to finish with this already posed by Randall Berger in a related work in a long time ago, to characterize a sort of optimal quantization, whatever that could be. So the requirement is that this T, over T, must be such that this Q to the Q to the power K square root of T is Hilbert Smith operator. So there are plenty of such fellows. We choose it such that indeed this is the case, and therefore we can determine these operators, comma T xk, comma T yk, and they are the polynomials of the position operator and the moment operator. And in these cases, one can easily compute the noise operator explicitly. Rtx, the noise of let's say, the quantized position, the difference of the second moment and the square of the first moment. And in that case, it looks quite nice, this operator, it's a scalar operator. It's a restriction of the identity operator. And the number which comes here is variance of, then I have the Q operator and this operator T which generates the phase space 26. So it is positive, there is one operator and in a sense a similar thing within a state. But of course this has nothing to do with the state of the quantum system. But in any case this noise operator which comes from that quantization which comes from T has that beautiful formula, and similarly for the momentum part. So, of course, one can then play with that. One could ask that, can choose T such that that this polynomial where K is 1 is simply the identity, so it's simply Q and simply P, and this can be chosen. One can choose T such that this operator product is minimal, in the sense that if we look at these operators, they are this scalar operators where we have this variance QT, variance PT. And of course, if we take the product, it's also a scalar operator and it has a constant. So we can minimize it in the sense that the norm is minimal. And of course, this is a pretty well known thing. It leads us to a minimal uncertainty. Using that. One can also consider the possibility that the noises are the same. And if we do these things, then there's only one quantization left, namely the one generated by the ground state of the oscillator, which is the most frequently used space space observable. Okay, this is roughly speaking what I wanted to tell you. If there's anything you would like to ask, I would be happy to. Yes, sir. Thank
you. You mentioned the different way to say that the two tables are compatible.
Yes.
Is there any of them which relates to the notion that the effective measurement of one and the other, I mean, that they commute effectively, so you can measure one and the other in time?
In time? Well, indeed, let me try to understand how to. Probably there's even here. Okay, this bi-observable, which is here, it really is a thing which comes from sequential measurement. If I perform first a measurement of E1, say, and then immediately after that, a measurement of E2, this constitutes, if the E1 measurement is fixed, of course I have to say what is this E1 measurement. And it can be described, for instance, in terms of state transformers, instruments. And if you do that, then the sequence of measurement, first A1, then A2, always defines a bi-observable. And therefore, there is a kind of joint observable referring to this sequence of measurement. Of course, it differs. If I first perform E1 and then E2, or first E2 and then E1, typically these things are different. Even if the operator measures happen to commute, then the sequence of measurements need not be the same. But indeed, this bioobservable is the means to describe sequence-emergent and to investigate the question whether some of the sequence-emergents can commute.
The characterization of spectral measures, yes, the semi-spectral measures, yes, by these moments.
Yes.
So you only use the first moment of the squared, whatever that thing was,
yes,
and the second moment of the untilled D, I think, right?
Yeah.
Do you assume here that all of the moments exist?
In fact, for that you don't need it.
You don't need it.
Yeah, it's only the crucial thing is here that the first moment, if you restrict this to the square integral with the domain, that it is selfish. Of course, it means that it has to be densely defined and in selfish. Often it happens that this is if it is a non-trivial thing at all, then it happens to be selfish. In fact, we do not know any case where it is not. Apart from some trivial cases where this is the domain is the most. So this is the only condition. And of course, this requires that the second moment, but no further requirements.
And this noise operator is different here.
Pardon?
This noise operator?
Yes.
Is it related to some information theoretical notion?
Yes. But this is, of course, I have written it here in the in the operator terms. But if we consider this, so to say, weakly, taking the expectations on both sides with respect to, for instance, vector space, then the noise is simply the difference of the second moment of the probability distribution and the first moment of the probability distribution squared. So in this sense, it is related to the probability distribution and therefore can be. Well, this is its content. It is used in many contexts indeed, especially if we consider semi-spectral measures, and if we compute its variance, it always formally, at least, can be the variance of that the semi-spectral measure in a given state can be represented as two terms. It is the variance of, let's say, of the spectrum measure of the first moment operator plus the so-called noise term. Maybe this is familiar. Of course, it requires that things are well defined, but in most cases, in many cases, they are. So, I mean, if I compute the variance of, in fact, I had that notation for the probability measure determined by an observable and a state. Then if you compute that, then it is okay. Then you can say that it is the variance of. Let us assume that the first moment operator is self itself, so it has a unique spectrum measure. Then there is a probability measure. If I E1, let me put this E1 here to remind that this is the probability measure determined by the spectral measure of E1 and the T. And then there comes this, what is called as the noise term, this fellow, it is an expectation. Let me write trace T and then this R of E. So it has this expression. And therefore, this term is often called noise because in many situations, one expects to measure this type of fellow actual measuring, let's say, an inaccurate version of the observable. And the inaccuracy then is reflected by the fact that there is this noise type of thing.
no further questions, but